Good morning. It's time now for Save Water Santa Fe with Christine Chavez. Good morning, Christine.
Hi, Esteban.
Always great to see you.
I know, especially on a rainy, cloudy morning.
Right. Definitely. I love the rain, love the moisture. And I know you have a very special guest that I'll let you introduce.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening to Save Water Santa Fe this morning. And Esteban's right. Today in the studio, we have our Water Division Director, Jesse Roach. And Jesse, you know, you come on the show maybe quarterly, whatever. It never seems like we have enough time to go over everything happening in the Water Division. So welcome to the studio. And for our listeners, maybe you can talk a little bit about yourself and your background and some of the work that you do for the city.
Sure. Thanks, Christine. Great to be back with you and Esteban. I always enjoy coming by and talking a little shop. So I grew up here in Santa Fe, left after high school and went off to college. got a degree in civil engineering, and then decided I wasn't quite ready to go to work. So I spent some time as a river guide in the Grand Canyon, and that sort of helped me realize that the thing that was the most passionate about was water, and especially water in the West. So I went to grad school in Tucson, got a degree in hydrology and water resources, and eventually was able to get back to New Mexico, moved to Albuquerque and worked at Sandia for about 7 years on models. Kind of most of my work was related to climate change impacts on the Rio Grande system and the interaction between surface water and groundwater and human demand on the system to try and kind of understand what might happen in the Rio Grande, you know, for the rest of the century. And then moved back to Santa Fe and was working in the private sector for a consulting firm called Tetra Tech. And then a little bit more than 5 years ago, had the fortune to be accepted to my current role at the Water Division, and really have enjoyed my time so far. It's an amazing team of folks working together to ensure a safe, reliable, and resilient water supply is available to meet our community's needs now and as far into the future as we can look. So really have enjoyed that, and looking forward to the next 5 years.
So, Jesse, one of the things that I think you brought to the division when you started was, you know, really getting everybody on your team. How can I say it? I feel like you brought a lot of technical, it's not leadership or thought, but I would say for water conservation anyway, you know, so I've been with the city 8 years, and we just finished writing our 5-year plan, and we're coming to an end, looking at another rewrite of that plan. And when we wrote the plan last time, I think we were taking what had already been done and we were refining it, trying to quantify it, trying to create more transparency with the public. And so we did that. But one of the things that has evolved in these past five years with conservation is that we have a lot more technology to look at, and we're, you know, looking more at data-driven decisions, and, you know, it's a balance between, you know, what the public sort of, you know, wants us to provide along with what the Water Division has to do to kind of move that needle. So maybe we can talk a little bit about some of the tools that you did bring. One of the first is the Water Resources Indicator that we've talked about on the radio show before. But let's just talk about why that tool came about and what purpose you feel it will serve.
Yeah, okay. I agree with you that... I mean, I think water management in general, but really particularly conservation, I think is at a turning point here where we can really bring technology to bear on what we're trying to do in terms of using water more efficiently in ways that we haven't before. And so I think the Water Resources Indicator is a good example of us maybe utilizing data more effectively. And then, you know, another one we should talk about is sort of what smart meters potentially mean to conservation, because I think that's the creation of a new sort of data that we didn't have before. But to the water resources indicator, we do have so much data in our system about how water is used, and we are trying to bring it to bear in different ways. And the water resources indicator to me was sort of a response to a little bit of a tension, or not a tension, a little bit of a two sides to the story, where you have, in certain situations, the utility could be in very good shape in terms of we might have a bunch of water in our reservoirs. We may have been resting our aquifers and our well fields and so we feel like, okay, we're in really good shape right now. We're ready to meet the needs of the community. And then suddenly there's this year where it just doesn't rain. And it's an opportunity to remind people how precious water is. But we have plenty of water at that moment. And so the water resources indicator was an attempt, or is an attempt, to sort of try and combine the reality of how much water we have available to serve the community. And so there's a portion of the score that comes from how much water's in our reservoirs and how much of that can we treat at our treatment plants. And then there's a portion, the largest portion of the score actually comes from how well have we been resting our groundwater, our well fields. We think of our well fields as our savings account. And so if we've been hitting the savings account, we don't feel very good about our position. If we've been letting the savings account rebuild, then we feel better to handle, a dry year. But the first two sort of portions of the score, which are a majority of it, about two thirds of it, are related to really how much water do we have. But then the last third of it is related to what's happening regionally. Are we in a significant drought, so that we should use that opportunity to also tell people, hey, it's dry. We need to remember to use our water resources wisely. And so the idea of that tool is that each spring we can tell people, hey, this year, this is the sort of kind of conservation restrictions we're going to have in place, and those are going to be in place for the whole growing season, so that it's predictable. And I think you and your team and the Water Conservation Committee have been working hard on translating that from, okay, if the water resources indicator says that we're in decent shape but not great shape, what are the policy responses to that? And you probably have talked about that on this show before, but that's a really big lift that the conservation team is working on now.
So along with the water resources indicator, there's also dashboards that have been developed to inform water conservation, along with the AMI meters. We forget to talk about that, but that was a huge investment that gives us a lot of other tools and data to work with, including the Ion Water app that we talk about. But can you talk a little bit about sort of the dashboards and sort of what the, what we're aiming for there?
Sure. And so this gets back to all the data that we collect as a utility, and all the data that's collected by other water management agencies, being in a place that's really at our fingertips to help us make decisions based on that data. And so with the help of a consultant and with some really sharp internal staff, we've put together a dashboard that's essentially, if you want to know how much water is being used in a certain part of town, you can go look and you can pull up a graph and you can see it. If you want to know what the flows are in the Santa Fe River or what they've been for the whole year, you can go look, pull up that graph and look at that. And there's certain combinations of information that are put together to really help us look and see what's happening. Each week we make decisions on what are the water resources that we're going to use, and we have this data sitting there ready for us to visualize in different ways at a daily average or a weekly average or a monthly average or a yearly average, to help us make sure that we're making those decisions based on all these huge amount of data that we have that hasn't always been accessible or something that was easy to visualize for us. So that's been a big push for us to try and kind of modernize the utility and have easy access and nice visuals to all the data that we have and that other agencies have, all in one place.
Well, I think that's one really strong thing that you have brought to the water division and the utility is that you do have this data. You have been presenting it in a consistent manner to the public, to the governing body, given us all these tools that we can communicate from. And it is a big shift from where we were 5 years ago when we wrote our first plan, because, you know, now we have the ability to actually see what programs or what initiatives are going to, you know, save, how much water those things are going to save. And so that will be a guiding, I think, force for us moving forward as we try to balance, you know, all of those things in the rewrite of our new plan. But, you know, it's let's take a short break and then we can come back and continue our conversation. But for those who are listening, we are talking to Jesse Roach, who is the city's Water Division Director. And we'll come back in just a few moments and continue our conversation. The City of Santa Fe Water Division makes it easy to track your water consumption on an hourly, daily, or monthly basis with the new app for your smartphone. Download the new Ion Water app to keep track of your water use and to make sure you don't have any leaks. To download the app, go to ionwater.com or link through savewatersantafe.com. For direct assistance, please call 955-4333. And remember, saving water is always in season.
All right, we're back with Save Water Santa Fe and Christine Chavez and Dr. Jesse Roach. A text came in, Christine.
Yeah, during the break, we did get some feedback. Let's address that.
It says, does Santa Fe have more than one source of water supply? And what is the water outlook for this next year? I don't know if that means like a El Nino or Nina or what. But then they said, Santa Fe is lucky to have your expertise. So there you go. You guys got a fan there. So, yeah, those are the questions.
Great. Well, I can jump in and take that. In academia, there's an expression that goes, I'm standing on the shoulder of giants, or we stand on the shoulder of giants, to try and express that any successes that we're having now typically are the result of hard work that has come before us. And in the case of the water supply situation in the city of Santa Fe, that's very true. Santa Fe started with just one source, which not surprisingly was the Santa Fe River. But in the 1950s, which was a historic drought, that supply wasn't enough to meet the growing demand. And so we added a well field within the city limits as our second supply. We sort of think of those as kind of one and the same. There are local water availability either in the reservoirs or in the ground. And then in the 70s, a third supply was added, which is the Buckman Well Field, which is deep wells between the city limits and the Rio Grande on the road out to the Buckman, old Buckman town site. And then I feel like one of the most visionary things was at some point in the 60s, the city and the county sort of said, yeah, we'll take some of that Colorado River water. At the time, people didn't really think we'll ever need that, but somebody had the vision to say, yeah, we'd like some of that Colorado River water that will come via a proposed project under the Continental Divide called the San Juan Chama Project. And so we do have about 5,000 acre feet of water that in a good year it comes to us through that project. And that serves about half of our total need. And so we have four different sources of water, and we also treat the effluent, the wastewater that arrives down at the wastewater treatment plant near the airport, and use that to irrigate turf at the Marty Sanchez golf course and the Santa Fe Country Club golf course and some of the fields on that side of town. So we do have a very nice, resilient, diverse set of sources. We typically try and use the surface water first and save our groundwater, save our well fields for when there's not as much water in the rivers. The outlook this year, I think it's a little bit uncertain. I haven't tracked too closely on, but I did see something about perhaps a La Nina. There's a weak correlation between La Nina here and not a very good winters, and El Nino is bringing us better winters. It remains to be seen, but generally we're in pretty good shape.
So I think that's really a strength of yours, Jesse, is the ability to, you know, provide that history and to, you know, provide that story, not only for the public, for but for the team that you lead, as, you know, as far as where we're going to go from here. You know, there's been a lot of work, you know, before us. You know, there's certainly a lot of work happening now. Where it relates to water conservation, you know that we know that we are looking at data-driven programming and we have these tools like AMI meters and, you know, dashboards, models, you know, where do you feel like the next big buckets for water conservation are in the next 10 years, 5-10 years?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think just for the the folks who are listening who might not know what we're talking about, used to be that your water meter, well, in a lot of cities, there wasn't even a water meter. They just, folks had connections and they turned it on. Now, we've always had water meters because water is scarce and valuable here. But it used to be that someone would have to drive around and read that water meter, and it'd be a monthly read. And so we wouldn't know anything about what was happening in water usage except for basically a monthly snapshot that was happening all over the city, different days, to give a one-month usage for that meter. And then about maybe 10 years ago, we started the effort to have these smart meters or automatic meters installed. And now those meters are reading every 15 minutes the amount of usage. And then once a day, they send that usage out through a cellular network. And so on this dashboard that we were talking about before, we can drill down and look anywhere we want and see what's happening. And what's been, as you know, your team has been really good at responding to leaks. Used to be if you had a water leak, if it started towards the end of your bill cycle, you probably wouldn't notice it the first bill. And then you, by the time you noticed it, you could have been leaking water for 5-6 weeks and have a huge bill. Now with this meter technology, we have the ability to set up these continuous flow alerts and see, hey, something just broke. Someone's got a leak, and really save folks money and save our system water. The place where I think where we eventually can go with this is that, as you know, it used to be that enforcement from a water conservation perspective was somebody driving around and looking for water running down the street. And now it can be something different, which is we have regulations on when you should be watering during the summer because it's more efficient to use water very early or very late. And now we have the ability to actually see, hey, it looks to us like this meter is watering during those times. And so, you know, in an automated fashion, I think the enforcement, and, you know, I don't want enforcement to sound like a bad word, the education and the ability to help people understand how to use water more efficiently can shift from somebody driving around in a car looking for water running down the street to someone or even, you know, an algorithm, a processing of data to look at, here are the places where we're not using water very efficiently. Why is that, and what could we do to help that, including enforcing rules that we already have on the books to say, you shouldn't be watering right now. So I think we'll see a shift as we really learn how to bring the power of this automatic meter data to bear on our efforts to use this precious commodity as wisely as we can moving forward.
Well, it's a great place to be in as we begin to write these different plans. We have the updated water conservation plan, and then we have the long-term plan called the Santa Fe 2100. And both are linked, and there's lots of ways for the public to get involved, including a kickoff of some of these technical tools this fall. You know, there's the stewards model that we really want to share with the public, along with how the dashboard and some of these other tools are going to be used to, you know, guide the decisions that will be made in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. And so please be on the lookout for that. They'll be on our website. The Water Division's website on the city is...
You can get there from santafenm.gov/water.
Okay.
It'll redirect you to some other address, but that one will get you there. And that's the simplest, I think.
Okay. And then we'll also have that information on SaveWaterSantaFe.com. So be on the lookout for that information coming to you this fall. And that will be, you know, kicking off all of the public input that we will be gathering, you know, in early next year, you know, for our next 5 to 10 year water plan. So Jesse, you know, thank you so much for all the work that you do and for bringing all of these resources to the Water Division. And, you know, look forward to working with you on, you know, what's going to happen in the next, you know, 10 year horizon. But thank you for being on the show today. Are there any last words or thoughts you want to share with our listeners before we end the show?
Sure. Thanks for having me. And I do want to emphasize what you said. There's this model that we have. It's called, we call it Stewards, and it's a representation of our system that we can use to run what if scenarios, sort of sim water system out for 80, 100 years and see what happens if, you know, we don't have as much Colorado River water. What happens if the, you know, we lose a certain source for a certain amount of time? And we can put these things together and represent them in this system and play it out. And so we are going to do a webinar or a hybrid meeting in person with a virtual option to show people this exciting tool. It's been something we've been working on. Well, we've been working on it for decades, but we really, this latest version of it is something we've been working hard on for the last 3 years, I'd say. And it's at a place now where we can show people the capabilities and what it can do and how it can help us make these decisions in terms of our long-range water supply portfolio. So watch for that, and we'll be excited to unveil the unveiling of Stewards coming soon.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, thank you, Christine, and thank you, Jesse. Appreciate you. You know, one of your wonderful partners, the Santa Fe Watershed Association, kicks off the Watershed Fest today through the 26th. And they wanted to remind our listening audience that later on today, from 4 to 5:30, there's a legacy walk and talk at San Isidro Park. So if people are interested in helping pick up some trash and also learning about the rich history there, you can feel free to do that. Also want to send a shout out while we're talking about protecting our waterways and our arroyos, sending a shout out to Carol Branch, the director of Keep Santa Fe Beautiful, to Lisa Ferrand, who's a volunteer river steward for the Santa Fe Watershed, and to Lorraine Chow, who's a steward and outreach coordinator for Toss No Mas tomorrow. 9 to 6, we can help pick up pieces of trash from our arroyos, our waterways, help protect our ecosystem, and potentially toxic and dangerous chemicals from making their ways into our waterways. So I want to say thank you to them for their work, and thank you to you guys and your whole water division, everybody. And last week when Bob was on the radio program, he got a phone call asking about gray water and potentially using it to water your landscaping, and he was able to connect people with resources. And so we really appreciate the texts that come in, the questions, and people just all pulling together for our city and our county. So this is great.